You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning, happy Sunday. This is Get Radio. Welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every Sunday, I am really, really fortunate to be joined by experts who kindly join us to share their stories and to share the interesting businesses and charities and organisations all across Oxfordshire and beyond that are behind the scenes and that have fascinating things that I'm sure you, the listener, always look forward to hearing about. And today we are talking about a really, really important topic. We're going to be talking about period poverty. And to do that, we are joined by Christine McRitchie of Earthwise Girls Limited. We're joined by Caroline Herman of All Your Period Box and Nancy Hunt of the Nasio Trust. I look forward to welcoming our three guests after this song. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. As you heard before that song, today we are talking all about period poverty. So let's start by introducing our guests. So Christine, can we start with you? Do tell those listening all about you and indeed Earthwise Girls.
Thank you. So I'm Christine. I run Earthwise Girls from Wallingford in Oxfordshire. I've been doing this for many, many years now, but far more than I care to think about. So what we do is we specialise in sustainable period products, which are mostly reusable ones, such as washable sanitary pads, period pants and menstrual cups, as well as selling to end consumers through our website and sometimes face-to-face as well. We have we also work with a number of small businesses. So we supply our own reusable sanitary pads to businesses such that they tend to be typically small, zero-waste, independent companies, some of them online and a lot of them bricks and mortar shops. So, we make our own brand of reusable sanitary pads, the Earthwise brand. And that came about after I met Nancy from the Nasio Trust about 9 years ago, I think. And she was looking for a solution, a sustainable solution that needed to be reusable for girls in Kenya, because these are girls living in extreme poverty. They don't have electricity and washing machines. They need something, and they certainly don't have waste disposal either. So they needed something sustainable. So I came up with the design and set it up right from the beginning that for every 3 pads we sell, we donate 1 back to the Nasio Trust. And that's been going on ever since. So we've donated thousands and thousands of pads now. And we want to keep going. And we also work with some other groups like Caroline's group, All Yours, and some schools and universities and things. And we like to try and supply things. We can't do everything for free because we're a business and I just wouldn't make a living at all. But I try and do everything at a minimal cost so that people's money goes as far as it can. Because I know, you know, with donations and fundraising and things, there's always a limit. So that's me.
Amazing. Perfect. Caroline, lovely setup there. Do tell those listening all about you and indeed All Yours Period Box.
So All Yours is a project that we set up in December 2020 to make period boxes for people who are struggling to afford or access period products in our local community. It started very small, just supporting a local food bank. And then it just kind of grew through word of mouth. More community partners wanted our support. And we were having kind of individuals and families contacting us, asking if we could support them with period products too. So it's now grown. We now cover 5 counties in the south of England. We do a lot of work in South Oxfordshire and West Berkshire. We've delivered over 16,000 period boxes. So we think we've supported in the region of 40,000 periods in the UK. And we also, a thing that's really close to my heart is we deliver period education sessions in schools. Mm-hmm. So I know my period education was terrible a very long time ago. And we haven't really, as a society, moved on from that. And so as a social enterprise, we try and make period education sessions affordable for schools so that we can reach as many young people as possible. And we also deliver it in the community as well, because there's plenty of adults out there who would just love to know more about their menstrual health.
Mm, no, amazing, amazing. And last but not least, Nancy.
Yeah. So my name is Nancy Hunt. I'm the founder and CEO of the Nursery Trust. So we are based in Abingdon, Oxfordshire, but we also work in Kenya. We run education programs. We run agriculture programs. We also support the community, and especially girls staying in education. And that's how I met Christine, because we found, and we've been doing it for over 20 years, we found in the last probably 15 years, a lot of girls were dropping out of school, and COVID was such a change maker because most of them didn't go back. And when we started looking at what are the reasons why girls weren't, one, performing as well as the boys, two, staying in education after the age of 14, and it was very simple. Some of them was just something as basic as having access to sanitary pads. And so when I met Christine, we started providing free sanitary towels for girls in education. We also started life skills for them, and just making sure that we kept them in school. And we've seen a massive difference in girls staying in school just as much as boys as well. So it's been a very, very good, successful journey, and something we take for granted in this country. For some people, it's about being able to get out of the house and go to school and staying at home and dropping out completely.
Mm, absolutely. And something that I'm really, really keen to share more with those listening at home over the next hour. Three of the hardest questions that we're going to be asking today is song choices for our listener. We all know lots about our specialist subject. There's always lots of pressure to pick a song on the radio. So, Christine, I'm going to give you the short straw first. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So my song choice is I'm Still Standing by Elton John. It's meant a lot to me personally, actually, over the last few years. I've been through a very difficult relationship breakup, and I've had to restructure the business. And then there's been all the challenges of Brexit and COVID and the cost of living crisis. And just so many things seem to have been flung at us, at me personally and at the business over the last 6 years or so. It just feels like it's something I listen to quite regularly and remind myself, like, you're still here. It's still going, it's, you know, and just jolly myself along a bit. So that's why I picked that song.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. And before that really, really good song chosen by Christine, we have heard from our three experts, so Nancy, Christine and Caroline. And today we're going to be talking about period poverty. So you did all touch on this in your intro, but I feel like a really good place to start is by not presuming. So what is period poverty? Who wants to start with that one?
So for us, period poverty or period inequity is about not having access to the period products that you might need to manage your period. As Nancy said, that can have a massive impact. It might be keeping young people out of school, might be stopping people going to work. And that might sound contradictory, but even people who are working or on too low an income sometimes to afford period products. But there's also the other things that factor into that. So it's a lack of period education, so a lack of understanding about what's happening to your body. And I'm sure Nancy can speak to this more than I can in the UK, but I imagine you know, for the people that she works with, it is around lack of access to basic sanitation as well. So there's lots of different things that go into period poverty. And it's not just about not having products. It is about the amount of education that you have around your body and your menstrual cycle and your period. And then also just really basic access to hot water, running water, flushable toilets. It's all that kind of thing that we perhaps take for granted in the UK, even though we do have an element of period poverty here as well. But I'm saying, Nancy, I'm sure can speak more to that than I can.
Amazing. Nancy, you really do need to follow that. So yeah, build on that point from Caroline, if that's okay.
I think, like Caroline says, it's not just the accessing of it. What we also realized in most of the African schools and the schools we work with, even just having a toilet that was designated for girls, that they could actually go in that toilet if they needed to change their sanitary pads in the day, just was non-existent. Or if the toilets were there, they were shared by boys and it was just not very clean. But we found these girls were using unsuitable material for their period. One, when their period starts, nobody talks about it. In a culture where periods, in some cultures and some religion, it's seen as taboo, it's seen as dirty. And so because it's not seen as something that you can talk about, it's not seen as something clean, you are also ostracized by the whole process. And nobody's talking to you about it. And you're age 14. This stuff is happening to your body and nobody's telling you what's going on. And then you don't even know how to deal with it. And so those are the things that we are doing now, is about period education as well. We start talking to girls from the age of 12 saying this will happen. And we've created something called the peer education program, and the peer, because we know peer-to-peer learning is the best way of young people learning from each other. So we'll get other 14, 15, 16-year-olds talking to 12-year-olds saying, this is what will happen to you. And when it happens, this is what you do, and it's normal. And then now we've got this sanitary, amazing. And to be honest, Earthwise sanitary pads are also beautiful. They're not just, and you know, credit to Christine. They're good looking, they're well done, and also gives those young girls a sense of pride. They've got something nice and presentable. And so it's a massive shift from them. You know, some girls have told us they'll cut their blankets to use as sanitary pads, which are very unhygienic. And they say, well, then they smell, and then you can't put it out to dry because it's quite embarrassing. And then you also haven't got underpants. So we also did an appeal for underpants, because there's one thing having sanitary towels, but if you haven't got an underwear to use it with, how are you going to use it? So we also did an appeal for underwear as a charity, and we're amazed by people's generosity. Literally, we had over 2,000 underwear donated. People are buying and dropping them at the office, because we're saying it's good enough to give them sanitary pads, but they also need underwear, which some of the girls actually don't even have, and they're 12-year-olds. Again, that's something our children in this country take for granted. And period poverty just doesn't affect you as a young girl growing up. It goes on up to your adulthood. You find these people have been traumatized by just the lack of confidence, because it knocks your confidence. And a girl would say to you, imagine you go into class, your period starts, you didn't know it was going to happen. You stand up in classroom to answer a question and your whole dress is soiled up. And the boys behind you are laughing because they think it's funny. And that knocks your confidence forever in that school. So for us, the challenges are also psychological. So it's not just the physical, it's not just the practical, it's also the psychological impact it has on these young girls as they grow up. So I'm amazed, and I'm so delighted to be working with amazing people like Caroline and Christine, who, and other people who have been helping us look at period poverty as a real issue. It's an essential thing for any young girl. It's not even a luxury. It is essential. It's a life essential tool for any woman, a young girl, and anybody that needs that stuff when they need it.
No, absolutely. And Christine, I'm just keen to bring back to your intro, if that's okay. By being reusable, when your customers are buying from you, do you find it is the reusable, the fact that you're reusable for the ethical reasons? Is it the charity side? Like, what do you find are the motivators of your customers? And I'm just keen to build on that.
Yeah, it does vary, actually. We certainly have some customers who are very strongly motivated by the charity links. That does appeal to a lot of people. For some people, it's a matter of cost, because it actually does work out cheaper, generally speaking, to use reusables. If you buy a set of pads, for example, they'll typically last you for at least 5 years. So you'll easily recoup the cost. And with menstrual cups, the recoup will be even faster. It's usually a matter of months. So there is a cost element, but ultimately, I think most people just want to have a good product that works and is suitable for them, and isn't a sort of, not necessarily a oh, I don't know what I want to say here, is they need something that's comfortable, something that helps them to manage their period in the way they feel comfortable with. And yeah, something that's sustainable as well, because, you know, if you can do something in a sustainable way and it doesn't cost you any more, then why not, really?
Very, very much so. A big thing that's come out so far in this morning's show has very much been around education, and that is something that's really, really important. So just around the education piece, what can we do more to help these girls, but also what can society do? Like, what are the challenges? Where is the help needed?
I think in the UK, there's a real disparity in funding of period education. So in Wales, for example, they have a period dignity grant, and from that, the local authorities can pay for period education for their young people. And we deliver a lot of workshops in Wales for a number of local authorities using that budget. If I come back over the border, back to my hometown, the English schools have got no access to that kind of budget. So where we want to put period education in place locally, to me and to Christine and to Nancy, I have to go out and get funding for that. So, you know, that's just one example of just the inequity that goes on in our little patch of the world in itself. I think it's just an underfunded part of the curriculum, yet it's a fundamental to any young person who has a period. Boys need to know about it as well. They should be part of the conversation. And when you, so I do a lot of work with year 5 and 6, and I teach boys as well as girls at that point. And they just have just as many questions as the girls. So the boys are just as intrigued to understand. They know that periods happen. They probably see their mum or their older sisters using period products, and they are just as keen. And it's really important that they are part of that conversation as well, because as they become adults, we need them to then be passing that information on to their children. So yeah, there is a real inequity just in the UK alone, never mind if we then move into the areas of the world that Nancy works in.
No, absolutely. Really, really keen to move on to Nancy in a moment, but just build on that point a little bit. So are there resources available for some of the schools or the communities where there isn't funding? Like, is there a place that you would flag for, I guess, online education? And excuse my naivety here.
No, not really, and that's the biggest problem. You know, in recent years, menstruation has been covered by 83 words in the national curriculum. And I think that just about says it all, really. And that's the problem. There is no one single accurate, documented, approved point of reference for teachers when they want to teach a class on menstruation. So, yeah, it's difficult. That I can't think of, apart from all yours, obviously. You know, there isn't easily accessible information that fills in the gaps for teachers. So a survey that was done during COVID said that 83% of teachers didn't feel confident teaching period education because their own knowledge was lacking, because we come from a foundation of such poor levels of period education. So it's a real problem that there's lots of organisations who are working together to try and tackle it. But yeah, at the moment, there's not one kind of unified source that people can go to.
Gosh, well, Christy, what's your take on this?
Yeah, so I've got 4 daughters, and so they've all been through the education system and the period education, which is, as Caroline said, is really quite poor. It varies enormously, but the one thing that seems to be a common theme is you'll get maybe one lesson in primary school and maybe another one in secondary school, which will probably be it. And you'll receive a handful of literature and some pre-samples, which isn't NHS information, it isn't medical information, it is simply sales information from the big companies who sell disposable products. So my kids came home with leaflets telling them that they could feel fresh every day if they wore a disposable panty liner every day. Utterly unnecessary, but just selling these kids the idea that their bodies are inherently something to worry about, and that they need to worry about it, and that, you know, the way your body works is something that you've got to manage and you've got to actively do something about, otherwise you're going to worry. So then that then builds into the poverty aspect, because if you've got people who can't afford to buy into that whole thing, which isn't even needed for most people, then they then feel ashamed or feel worried that they, maybe I'm smelly, maybe other people can tell that I can't use these products and things. So yeah, there's a whole other aspect there. And I think the education system has been extremely lazy and very reliant on big pharmaceutical companies to just supply the, fling a load of freebies at them. And they hand that out and say, well, you know, here's a tampon in a glass of water, you'll be fine, sort of thing.
Really scary stuff. Nancy, I'm really keen to build on some of the work you've done. But before that, I'm going to ask you a really difficult question. I apologise. And then we'll come back to some good questions. So as with Christine and soon to be Caroline, you've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Oh, dear. So my song choice is Stronger, What Doesn't Kill You by Kelly Clarkson. Because I say to people, running a charity is even harder than a business, because you are depending on other people's mercy and kindness and empathy and all those things. And you just have to be stronger. Every day I have to remind myself, I've got to look at the bigger picture. Why am I doing it? And all of us, I'm sure Karen would say the same and Christian say the same. We move away from just a business and a charity. We think about the people. And if you don't think about the people, you're not even strong enough to do it, because the challenges that come at you are unbelievable. So that song, I always remind myself, I've got to be stronger. What doesn't kill me then will just make me stronger.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is The Business Brunch, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Nancy, I'm really, really honoured to be joined by Christine, Caroline and Nancy. We're talking about period poverty, both overseas in Kenya, but also here in the UK. So Nancy, I'm keen to come across to you, if that's okay, and just really talk about, and I think you did before the break, touch on this quite a lot in terms of kind of the impact of what it really kind of means. But I'm keen to build on this point around education. So just in terms of the education around periods, what does that look like in Kenya, in terms of the services you're offering, but at the same time, what would happen if you weren't there? Just talk to me about that piece.
I think one of the things I say about education is, again, it's one of the things in this country or in the West people take for granted, because you get up and you're a certain age and you go to preschool and you carry on and it's free. And, you know, there's the education. If you don't go to school, your parents will be asked why, and social services will be involved. And, you know, it's law that you go to school because the law says you go to school if you're a certain age. When you come to a country like Kenya or most developing countries, it is not law and nobody cares whether you go to school or not. And mentally, you are told the only way out of poverty is to have an education. So you'll find children who are so desperate to go to school and they just can't because they're so poor and they cannot afford to go to school. And school, the government might say it's free, but to be in that school, you have to pay for a desk that you sit on. And some classrooms, I've gone to some classrooms, there's no desk. So it's first come, first serve. If you first come in the morning, you're first passing class because there's only a few desks, you'll sit on a desk. And if not, you'll sit on the floor. But these kids are desperate to learn. Then when you get to puberty and then you start having periods, now that's a change, you know, then your life has completely changed because you're desperate. You've gone that far. You've got to 12-year-old. And now the one thing that should keep you in education is the same thing that makes you drop out. Now, we found a lot of girls, we started a program. We're being funded by UK charity to help girls stay in education. One of the things we did a survey, we found some of these girls were having sex for sanitary pads. It's as simple as that. Because she thinks, do you know what? If I want to stay in education, the only way I can stay in education is have some access sanitary pads, and they would have sex. And that would either end up with having HIV, which is now life-threatening, or get pregnant and still drop out. So what we do is we say, look, come, we'll give you a sanitary towel. We'll also tell you about if you really have to have sex for any other reason, don't do it for sanitary pads. Then you have a condom. So it's when you're told education is the way out of poverty, the last thing you want is a little thing like a sanitary pad be a barrier to you staying in education. And so I'm desperate to make sure that we educate, even those governments in Africa need to understand that taxing people on sanitary pads just disadvantages people who haven't got the money in the first place. So I've seen a lot of stuff on LinkedIn about taxes on sanitary pads and why governments should consider, you know, because it is not, sanitary pads is not a luxury. It is an essential stuff for women.
No, absolutely. And is this similar in the UK in terms of sort of governments and accessibility? Is this still the case?
It varies depending where you are, I think, because I know in Wales they now provide period products for free. I think there's a move to do the same in Scotland. I don't know if it's got there yet. Whereas in England, it's you know, nothing's changed. So yeah. I don't know.
I think it's the other way around. Scotland are free and Wales are using their period dignity grants to make period products more available through their community organisations, so leisure centres, you know, kind of community buildings, council buildings, that kind of thing. But, you know, Christine can probably talk to this as well, but we only took VAT of period pants in January and that was at 20%. So if we wanted to buy a pair of period pants for a family to help them, you know, help their young daughter manage her periods, we were having to pay 20% in VAT on that because it was a luxury. And I think we can all agree that period pants are not a luxury at all. But yeah, it's amazing that, I mean, it baffles me that we've only just taken VAT off period pants, but it also baffles me that there are other countries still in the world that are charging tax on period products at all. I can only say, no disrespect, Ben, but it must be a man driving these policies because I don't think any woman in their right mind would think that was a good idea. So yeah, it's shocking, really.
No, absolutely. Christine, I'm keen to really kind of this. Of course, is a business show, and I think that a lot of business people will be listening today, and they'll be thinking, actually, I want to help, whether that be to their own children, or whether that be to donate to a great cause, to donate to a great cause, or it may be that actually I want to be banging on the door of my MP to get this point out. So I'm giving you a little bit of a short straw here, Christine, in terms of solving this problem. But what's your take if someone's listening right now and wants to make a positive impact?
Well, I think it partly depends on who you are. If you're a business, then make sure you're offering something to your staff. You've got female staff, make sure they've got a way of managing their period in a dignified way. Don't make it difficult for them to go and change their sanitary products if they need to make extra trips to the loo and stuff. Just be understanding. It's not difficult. Just be human. Imagine it was you. You probably really want to have that dignity yourself. If you want to donate reusable period products, then we can take a donation through our website. We have a special product set up where you can buy either a pack of reusable sanitary pads or a menstrual cup set. And those will be donated straight to all yours who pass them to people who would like reusable products, because all yours do focus on supplying what the person can use, which is really important. If you buy any of our Earthwise pads, the buy three, give one packs, we will automatically be donating a pad to the Lazio Trust with that. And yes, do bang on at your MP. They're terrible at listening. Absolutely shocking. I must say, I've written to our local MP a number of times and his take on it was always to just toe the party line until suddenly Jeremy Hunt turned around and said, oh, yes, of course, we're going to get rid of that VAT. So, but I do think the more we make noise, wherever you can make that noise is helpful. So whatever you feel you can do to tackle this issue, please do it. And if you think your local independent shop ought to be stocking some of these products, especially something more sustainable, ask them. And, you know, feel free to point them in my direction. I'll give them a hand.
No, amazing, amazing. I always think with my media hat on, it's always important not to be too political. But I'm gonna tread along that line with the question for you, Caroline, and then we'll move on to Nancy if that's okay. We spoke a lot about, and I know Christine touched at the start of that point around it, it's where you live, or it's almost like postcode lottery in some ways. Do you believe that it is purely a lack of education? So it's unintentional, it's just there isn't education there and mistakes happen? Or do you believe that there is a wider issue that needs to be solved there?
I think there is a lack of education generally around periods, but I think there is also a lack of willingness to engage in debate around that topic. You know, I spend a lot of time talking to MPs. I spend a lot of time talking to my own MP. And over 3 years, we've just moved forward kind of centimetres. We haven't taken any strides forward. We just get a little concession here and a little concession there. We might get 20% off VAT on period pants here. But, you know, but then we're staring down the gun at the moment of the school's period product scheme being cancelled in July. So how is that supporting keeping our young people in school? So I kind of feel, you know, we kind of make these little inroads, but really no one seems to particularly want to take the ball by the horns and engage with this topic. And as I say, part of it is education. They simply don't understand the issue, or they can't empathize, you know, especially men to being female, they can't empathize with that. So yeah, it is education, but I also think a lot of it is it's just not in their political appetite.
It doesn't feel very fitting to come to a song choice after that really great point you've made, but for timing on radio, we do need to come to a song choice. So apologies, but what is your wonderful song choice that's very fitting at this time on a Sunday morning?
So I've chosen A Head Full of Dreams by Coldplay. I wasn't particularly a Coldplay fan, and then my husband dragged me along to one of their concerts in 2017, and it was one of the best nights of my life. And I think it just sums up how I spend most of my life. Just those dreams that I want to get out and fix in society.
The Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I'm sure, like me, you've been really, really inspired by some of the amazing, amazing work that Christine, Caroline, and Nancy have been doing. But also, I guess, I think horrified is probably the right word to use by some of the challenges in the world. So no, thank you to the three of you for that. Nancy, I'm keen to go slightly off topic here, if that's okay, and just talk about you as a charity working with some of the poorest people in the world, really, and just really sort of build on that point. So how is it running a charity, and what are the challenges, and what does it look like to run a charity? But also, I think that something I sort of want to touch on with you is that I know it's been reported quite heavily when there is a disaster in the world, which is of course horrific, so whether it be the Ukraine war or whatever, that actually other charities then are also really impacted, because a lot of funding and donations go into the direction of the crisis at the time. So can you just kind of build on those sort of two points, if that's okay?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting, you talk about war. One of the things we forgot to mention is also when there's war, imagine women fleeing and not having access to sanitary pads. And there's amazing charities that actually do packs, sanitary packs for women, refugee women, women at war, and things like that, which is incredible. I think there's just incredible what other women are doing out there in charities to support women in time of need. And going back to the question about running a charity, I still remember, I'll never forget, an amazing businesswoman who was my mentor at the start of the charity. And she said to me, Nancy, when you're running a charity, you need to run it as if you're running a business. Because every single thing you need to think about is obviously profit and loss and managing your cash flow and things like that. And those are the principles I've always stuck with me is, you know, knowing my people. I've got to know the people I've got on my team. I've got to have good people. They're the key things. If I haven't got good people, we're never going to survive. And then, of course, you have to be prepared. There'll be disruptors. So COVID was one of the disruptors. Suddenly, you know, our source of funding completely stopped. People stopped traveling. We had to find a way to survive. So there'll always be disruptors. How do you, as a business or as a charity, manage through that disruption that is completely out of your control? And then, of course, there's war, as you've mentioned. What people don't realize is Russia, Ukraine are miles away from Africa in the village where I'm in. In fact, if I walked around the village and asked somebody, do you know, have you ever heard of Russia? Have you ever heard of Ukraine? They'll tell you, no, they don't even know why it is in the world. However, they don't realize how it's impacting them, because once the price of things like petrol go up, transport goes up, food prices go up, and everything goes up. And then suddenly their poverty levels have just increased, because even basic things like food becomes very, very expensive, even though they wouldn't have even connected that actually the loss or the war that's happening somewhere in Europe is actually affecting them on the ground. And then always asking, because one of the things we do is like the girls, we ask them, why do you decide to have sex at 12, 13, 14? And they'll give you a simple answer. So your people will always know what the problem is, and they'll tell you what the solution is. And so they're the ones who tell us, do you know what? I'm so sorry I got pregnant. I had sex because I needed a sanitary towel, because the boys laughed at me when I stood up and my dress was stained because I didn't have any sanitary pads. And so we've always, those are the principles we've worked with. Now, what also people don't realize is when the IFID and the Foreign Office merged, so political decisions that are made sometimes really affect the way charities run. The moment you merge Foreign Office and the DFID, which funds development programs, then funding runs out, because we all relied on funding from smaller trusts and foundations, but now bigger charities are going to trusts and foundations, and because they're well known, they're given the money. If you're not known, you don't get the money. So as a charity and a small charity that is unknown, you're always battling one thing after the other, one thing after the other. The demand for the people you're supporting doesn't stop. In fact, the fact that you're now helping people give period pads. Now, another school, we even had a request from a school of disabled children, because again, disability where we are is a stigma. When a child is born with a disability, because there's no resources, these families abandon the children. So we have a charity that's run by the Catholics that's taken these disabled children in a boarding school. Nobody thinks about them. Nobody gives them sign. So now they're coming to us saying, oh, can you also run period programs for these kids? Can you provide sanitary? So because they know you're doing something small, the demand gets bigger and bigger. Your funding gets smaller, but the demand gets bigger. And sometimes I've said to my team, there's no point standing there feeling helpless. The moment you start feeling helpless, you cannot help anyone. We just have to do what we can. So we rely a lot on people like Christine. When people buy sanitary pads and one or two are donated to us, makes a massive difference. And I must admit, I went to Morrison's toilet, and credit to Morrison as a business, as a supermarket. And on their toilet, I had to take a picture to show my team. On their toilet, they said they provide free sanitary towels. And do you know what? If all businesses did that, it would make a massive difference, because then it means that people can then donate what they would have bought for themselves to other charities. So I think all businesses should follow that. And now I've also seen now the likes of Marks and Spencer's are doing period pants. I mean, we would love a charity, we would love for Marks and Spencer's to donate, even if for every one period pants that people bought, one would go to the charity, would make a massive difference to other girls across the world. So it's just getting businesses to see how they can help in a very, very small way, because even us running small charities, we've got massive challenges. Financial staff, we can't pay enough for staff to keep good staff. You know, we're just battling with the same issues they're battling as businesses.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We are starting to come towards the end of the show. I can't believe how quickly we've flown through the show. There's been some such inspiring points made. But one of the things that we do like to go do on the show, to end the show really, is to give some top tips or a takeaway point or something we've discussed that you would recommend we highlight on our notepad as the thing to remember, or the action we can make to make that kind of lasting impact, really. So So, Christine, I'm going to give you the short straw to start first, if that's okay. So what would be your top takeaway tip that you'd like to share with those listening right now?
So really, I think it's about, as far as period poverty is concerned, there's always something everybody can do to help. So whether that's pick up an extra pack in the supermarket and put it in the food bank box, or donating online to one of the many small charities that are doing such excellent work, or if you're buying products for yourself, then maybe look and see which products are giving back and choose those instead, rather than just, picking whatever the one you've heard of. You might find that one that maybe isn't quite so well known is actually doing some real good. So take a little bit of time to do a bit of research and spend your money carefully, because you may find that you can actually make your money go further and help others in need.
Amazing. What about yourself, Caroline? What's your takeaway tip?
I think mine would be that you're never too old to learn about your menstrual health. So obviously we've talked a lot about young people having education, but I think it's just as important that those of us who are now adults, you know, have that opportunity to learn as well. And there are some amazing books out there, some great authors who've written some really good books about your period, about your cycle, about your menstrual health. So I would say educate yourself. If you think you don't know enough, then yeah, pick up a book in your local library. It's bound to, one of them is bound to be in there. And yeah, you're never too old to learn. And then hopefully that will then help us guide our younger generation through the maze that is periods and menstrual cycles.
Amazing. And last but not least, Nancy, what's your takeaway tip to end the show?
I think for me is the power of our voices. So we've all talked about how we need to campaign through our local politicians, through government, through our businesses. I think if we all jointly put our voices together, wherever you are, whether you're in business or whether you're in government, whether you're in politics, to raise this as an issue, because it is so important. And it is not a luxury product. It's not luxury. Girls, if we had a choice, maybe some of us would not choose to go through them. And therefore, the power of voices, if we can all put our voices together and highlight this as a real issue, it's a real global issue. Period poverty is an issue, and it's global. It's not just an African issue. It's also a global issue. In this country, there's people who do need that support. So if we can all put our voices together, wherever we are, to raise the issue and the profile that it deserves, so that in the next century, I don't want my children and their grandchildren seeing period still as a poverty. Why are we even calling it poverty? Because it should not be poverty. It should be children should have access to those products anyway.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And what the way to end the show. So thank you so much to the three of you for taking the time and being so honest and so transparent with this huge issue. That I'm hoping that you listen at home will really, really go away and think, what can I do that will make those little differences, which I think is what we've spoken about today. So on today's show, if you are just tuning in, we have been joined by Christine McRitchie of Earthwise Girls. We've been joined by Caroline Herman of All Your Period Box and Nancy Hunt of the Nessio Trust. So thank you so much to the three of you for that. Next week, we are going to be back with a brand new guest talking about a really, really interesting topic. So we're going to be talking about how you can successfully support vulnerable customers in your business. And to do that, we're joined by an expert in that space. So we're joined by Helen Pettifer of Helen Pettifer Training to do that. So be sure to listen. Just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. There is a podcast format which is available on all your favourite podcast platforms and goes out on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format so you can see our lovely guests in the flesh on the Facebook page and on the website every Tuesday. But for now, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you next week.